Greetings and salutations, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Doesn't it feel good to be back in the studio, Jess?
Oh, it sure does. It seems like years since we've seen the inside of it.
So much has happened. We released 16 behind-the-scenes videos as part of our Family Time series.
We had two rounds of the Avery Awards, Team Edition.
We recorded three Odyssey episodes remotely for the first time ever.
And we just finished airing Album 68 Out of the Blue on the radio and online. Phew, we've been busy.
And after all that, our listeners have some questions about what's happened and what's happening.
So, it's time for a team Q&A. Let's get some answers from executive producer Dave Arnold, producer Nathan Hubler, and writers-directors Phil Lawler and Marshall Younger.
Hi, everybody. This is Nathan.
Hi, Nathan.
And I have a couple other people on the line.
Oh, hi. I thought you were talking to the kids.
Are we on? I didn't know you were here.
Welcome to another Q&A. It's always fun starting these things. This is Nathan, and this is...
Marshall.
Hi, Nathan.
Is that what you're asking me to do?
Maybe we should rehearse these ahead of time.
And this is Dave. And you can tell that we are all together.
I skipped rehearsal.
We're all in separate locations, actually in three different time zones, four different locations. Yeah. And we are very excited to answer these questions from fans. Let's start with our first one from Cosette. She's from Waterloo, New York, and she has this question.
At the end of Novacom, Eugene calls Wit saying that he's considering coming back to Odyssey. But it's also during that time that he loses his memory and that he finds out his dad is alive. I was wondering what the timing is of when these three events occur.
Nathan, you're going to have to help me with this because this was 15 years ago. But I'm going to try to get this straight, the timeline. Okay, so Eugene leaves Odyssey. Okay, this is before Novacom has come to Odyssey, but it's not before Novacom has already started testing the product that he invented on people. Okay, so they tested it on Mr. Shanks, that's Katrina's dad, and it ends up hurting him, and he's in the hospital, and so they decide to get married at his bedside.
I'm with you so far.
Before he dies. Okay. Oh, so I'm right so far? Yes. Okay.
Yes, I'm with you so far.
Okay. So, but at that point, Eugene realizes that the technology that he invented is now being used for bad, for evil. And so he decides, I'm not safe here, and he stays out of Odyssey. That's when he and Katrina go to Africa, where they find out that his father had been there as well in the same place on an archaeological dig. And Nathan, is that where they find out that he might still be alive?
Yes. Yep.
So Eugene comes back to the States, does not come back to Odyssey yet. And this is when I think, correct me if you disagree, Nathan, I think this is where he makes the call to Wit at the end of Exit, where he says, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I just got to figure this out. Because he still feels awful about inventing this technology, and also he might fear for his life because these guys are still out there. So that's when he comes back to the States. That's when he starts experimenting on himself with the black box in order to make it do what it was initially intended to do, which was for good.
Mm-hmm. Never a good idea to run the experiments on yourself.
Don't do this at home. Don't. Experiment with the black box at
home.
Don't
use the Nova box at home.
On yourself. You could use it on brother or sister, not yourself. Okay, but Eugene starts using it on himself. That's when he loses his memory. And then later on, he comes back to Odyssey. He regains his memory. And that's when the whole thing starts with him searching for his father. Is that correct?
I believe that's all correct. But it's so confusing. Marshall, would there be any way that we could see this visually?
You could look in the official guide to Adventures in Odyssey, where there is a timeline of all of those events that I described. Well, not all of the events. I made up some of them.
What pages is it on?
And where can you buy it? And how much does it cost?
We were a volleyball team at one point, setting up and rocking things. Right there.
You know, I don't have the book in front of me, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
It's not on pages 476 to 479?
Yes, you know, actually that rings it is.
You know that rings a bell. It rings a bell. I think that's the one it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going
to
say.
And right after that are instructions on how to actually use the box on yourself. So
how to build your own Nova box at home.
Yeah. Well, I think we're out of time.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
I'm exhausted after one
question.
I think
that's the most I've ever heard Marshall say in one sitting.
Well, if you're still with us, let's go on to another question that has nothing to do with Novacom, nothing to do with any timelines. This one is from Preston from Rochester, New York.
All the evidence from all the episodes point to Odyssey being in Ohio. So it kind of seems weird to me that that would be so consistent, but you have never really said it in a podcast or anything. So if that is intentional, why have you not said anything about it? And if it's not, how did that happen?
Well, Preston, first of all, I noticed that both you and Cosette are from New York. And so I know that, you know, COVID has been pretty hard and heavy there. I hope that you and everybody you love and know are safe and feeling well. And thank you for sending in the question. First of all, we've never really identified Odyssey as being in Ohio. I suppose you could extrapolate that, but we've never said, and nor do we want to say. But Phil, maybe you can talk about the origins of this, since you know you and Steve talked about it, obviously at the very beginning.
Well, as far as the origins of where Odyssey is concerned, Steve and I went back and forth with that quite a bit. And just kind of tried to talk about it, and we thought, well, where do we really want to situate this thing? And I had always, and Paul McCusker was part of that too, because I had always thought that, you know, I grew up in Oregon, in Klamath Falls, Oregon. I was born and raised there for about 6 years, and I always thought that that's where Odyssey really was. That was the kind of town that Odyssey was. It was a small town, very much modeled after Klamath Falls, my hometown. And then Paul always thought it was like Bowie, Maryland, which is where he was from. And so,
I always thought that it was from Montana where I was from.
Yeah, and Dave, so. Right. Dave was, yeah, exactly.
Well, I was raised in Ohio, so I win.
So, well, one of the problems was, and maybe Marshall, you can speak to this, is that we had this mountain next to Odyssey, and I was thinking, well, are there mountains in Ohio? I don't know if they're in the place that we're talking about. I'm not quite sure.
Hills, yeah, rolling hills.
So, but we had this, you know, part of the whole creation of the Odyssey was that it was nestled at the base of a place called Forest Mountain. But Steve and I, yeah, we went back and forth with this a lot, and I think at one point he actually did. He appeared on the Focus broadcast and really strongly intimated that it was in Ohio. So I mean, it's that kind of thing. We want Odyssey to be an every town, and if you feel like it's from Ohio, well, good for you. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. So, I guess that's it.
Okay, well, let's go on to Jordan from Mokena, Illinois. And Jordan asks,
can't Connie's dad and Wooten's father become believers? It'd be nice if at least one, if not both of them, could change their grumpy, ridiculous ways of living. I really wish they would become believers.
Well, Jordan, I mean, obviously, we hope that every person on the planet will become a believer.
Of course.
That is our prayer and goal, and that's what the heart of the Lord is, right? We also want to, in Odyssey, make any transformation into a faith realistic. Yeah. So we just don't want to all of a sudden, you know, one day have somebody become a Christian so that, you know, we have them become a Christian. If we want somebody to become a Christian, it makes the best sense for us to have that journey with them and see how God transforms them so that we can experience it, you know, and see how, you know, God may do that in a friend's life or in your life along the way as well. So we can certainly consider that as story options. Now that you brought it up, we'll probably discuss it at a future writers meeting. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I like having grumpy, ridiculous characters, and so and to make them a Christian, maybe they would change their ways in a little bit, but I want to make sure that we still got characters that that are unbelievers, just to show a different type of person. Because we need our characters to be able to play off of others and ridiculous grumpy people are part of Odyssey and
they're part of the real world too.
Exactly.
And just to bring it in for a landing, I'm not sure exactly who said this, but I remember hearing the quote that whenever people would write in years ago and ask, when is Eugene going to become a Christian? And the Odyssey team would say, well, Eugene can't become a Christian until he says he's ready. So right. Even though he's a character, you know, he still has to be realistic to himself. So it can only make sense for him to become a Christian when it makes sense for his journey as a character that he would take that step.
Precisely.
Okay. Let's go on to Johanna, and she is from Benton, Arkansas.
I have two questions for you guys today. My first question is, will we ever have another Get in the Show contest? And my second question is, in Find a Penny, Part 1 and 2, you guys had Penny say that her phone was run over by a car. Is there a story behind that? Or was that just something to throw in for excuse that Penny didn't have her phone?
Well, Johanna, I would say that there is a possibility that we will do another Get in the Show contest. And if we do, you should absolutely sign up for it because you have a fabulous voice.
Yes.
We do talk about these contests periodically, and I'm sure at some point we will revisit them. So yes, I assume we probably will have another Get in the Show contest. And please do try out for it because you've got a great voice. And then the other question, Nathan, did you want to answer that?
Sure. Find a Penny had no lack of crazy and ridiculous things going on in the episode. It was kind of by design. But Penny's phone being run over by the car was also by design. There are actually two different versions of this episode because it was one of those that was too long for the radio, and the version that's on the CD and download and on the club is a bit longer. And in that longer version, then you hear Penny explain later in the episode that one of the victimizers threw her phone under the car. So it was all part of the plot to get rid of her phone so she couldn't call Wooten. But in the radio version, you don't hear that part because we had to shorten it for time. So we just kind of left that a mystery in the radio version. So a very good question. If you're able to listen to the episode on the club, you should have a pretty definitive answer on what happened to that phone and why. Okay, so next up, let's go to, this is actually another question from Jordan from Mokena, Illinois.
I'm unfortunately been not able to afford to join the Odyssey Adventure Club, but I've been wondering because of that if there's any like plot information or character development, because I hope that there isn't any kind of important information that I'm missing out on that's I hear in the albums that I don't know anything about.
Yeah, Jordan, that's a very good question. First of all, let me say that I'm sorry you can't afford the club, but we do have a 28-day free club membership right now that I'd really encourage you to take advantage of. We're doing this because of, you know, what's going on in the world right now and want to make the club available for a month to everybody. So I would encourage you, I'd encourage you to take advantage of that and listen in. To directly answer your question, though, there aren't any stories in the club that affect the character development outside of the club. Mm-hmm. So, but I will say this, that there are characters that we have developed specifically for the club that are not in, you know, normal non-club adventures. So if you don't have a club membership, you wouldn't be missing anything that it would be important for the stories you're hearing, but you are missing out on some additional characters and maybe some additional storylines.
What we're trying to do is keep both the club and non-club shows very vibrant, but not necessarily intermesh them to the degree that if you're just listening on albums, you'd feel left out. And if you're just listening on the club, you wouldn't feel left out. So if you have the club, you'll have a richer experience. But if you don't have the club, you should still be able to understand what's going on. Let's next up, we're going to hear from Edwin from Lot, Texas.
So since we are getting a new phase of new characters, I was just wondering, does that mean we'll be getting a new update to the theme song?
We haven't talked about it, Edwin. It's a fair question.
Yeah.
You know, it is fun to do a refresh every so often, and maybe we should consider that with, you know, ask John to look at that again for us. I don't feel like the current theme is really tired yet, but perhaps sometime soon. I know we did that.
Didn't we talk about that at the last writers' meeting? I thought we did talk about that back.
Well, we were talking about if we should kind of refresh how the theme works with like the character introductions. And I'd love to hear from our listeners if they have ideas for what we should do with the opening, because way back when the theme was very different. You know, you had Wit working on the invention at the very beginning, and then there was a period of time where we had clips of the episodes in the theme song. But I'd love to hear from the listeners if they have new and different ideas for if we did change the theme song, what should be a part of it? You know, what do you really like hearing there? Or is there anything that you've missed that's not in there? Give us some thoughts. What do you think we should do with the theme song? Let's go to Clara from Pineville, Louisiana.
At the end of Always Home, Connie mentions that she got a call from an old friend. Who was that old friend? And will he or she tie into any future episodes?
Well, the interesting thing about this show is that we had an original ending. We had the final line be Wit saying absolutely anything, and then the show is over. Well, we decided to fade out with them actually talking in the booth, and so there was actually the script was written a little bit longer than what ended up in the final product, but we had to cut it for time. But would you guys read the rest of the script? Just one of you play Wit, one of you play Connie.
Who do you want to do who, Marshall? As you're directing us here.
Dave, why don't you? You're more of a Wit like character.
And, thank you. I feel really happy about that.
That okay. Let me adjust
there
myself
go.
To
there,
Connie.
There
Let's see, Connie. Okay. All right. How about that? I got an email from an old friend today.
Oh, who?
You remember Courtney Vincent?
Well, of course.
She's doing well. It was good to hear from her. She told me I had a really big influence on her life. I had no idea.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
With those performances, you wonder why that part was cut from the episode.
I got that right.
I'm going to call Katie and Andre and just tell them we don't need them anymore.
We can do it again, Marshall. We can do it again for
take
you.
Two, please.
Yeah. One take is plenty for our audience. But Courtney Vincent, if you remember, was a popular character in the 90s. She was in a bunch of episodes. I loved writing for Courtney Vincent because I liked the actress Sarah Buskirk was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she came back as an adult too. To play she was Mitch's sister in
Novacom's she was in My Girl Hallie. She was the computer voice there.
Yeah.
Speaking of episodes from the 90s, Clara is one of my favorite names. So there you go.
Beautiful.
She was probably named after that episode.
Yeah. Yeah, way after that episode.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
From the sound of it, I mean, she sounds much younger than the episode. I mean, she was way after that episode.
Okay, let's go on to Carl from Raleigh, North Carolina.
What is the name of album 70, and can you give us any hints about what's going to happen in the Rydell Revelations?
A very concise question, and I believe we can answer both of those. So for the name of album 70, that is still in process. We're still talking about it. Also working on the cover picture now, or at least our artist, Gary Locke, is working on the cover picture. But the title we have discussed is Finding a Way, and that applies to a number of the episodes in different ways. But we can tell you a bit more about the cover picture, because the cover picture involves Connie and Jason and Wooten, and it's a scene from an episode that we recorded remotely, the first Odyssey episode ever recorded remotely with the actors in their homes, using their home studios. And Marshall wrote and directed that. So Marshall, can you give us, maybe talk briefly about the remote recording and also give us a preview of what the episode's about, without giving too much away, of course.
Yeah, it was really exciting. You know, we were through three different time zones. We had people in like eight different places. And then we had people recording in some places. We had actors all in their separate homes because, you know, and they all had home studios. And so it was interesting just trying to get it to work and getting all the technology to work. And it started off a little slow because we had some technical difficulties, and we were it was a 4-hour session, and we were 2 hours in, and we had recorded 4 pages. So it's always really exciting for a director to be that far behind. But you know what, we got through it, and I tell you what, it was because of the actors, really. It was two things. It was the actors, Jess and Katie and Townsend in particular, were just excellent. And the second thing was our sound engineer, Chris Deal. I mean, he put it all together and made it work. And you too, Nathan. I don't know. I did not understand a single word of what they were saying about the technology. but they made it happen, and it worked out. So I was really excited about that. As far as the episode is concerned. It is it's a typical Candid Conversations with Connie episode. Wooten and Connie are at the mics, but then they get a call from a mysterious person who has a secret, and it rips the fabric of their lives.
In typical Candid Conversations fashion.
And then they all learn a valuable lesson about sharing. No, I'm just kidding.
While Whit serves them lemonade and ice cream.
the first part of that is true. It's a mysterious voice comes on. A caller comes in and has a secret, and they have to deal with that. So it's a fun episode. I think it turned out pretty well.
It's a really great episode. And Marshall, man, you stepped up to the plate so well. I mean, this was done in response to what's been going on in the world right now, and we've had to readjust everything and record things remotely, like we've been talking about. And it's fantastic that God has provided this technology. I mean, we are in the right time for this sort of thing to happen, at the right moment for this sort of thing to happen. We're using that technology right now to do this question and answer session.
But it was an interesting challenge, and Dave, you and Phil are experiencing this now. It's a challenge writing. To make sure you can't have too many people in one scene. You can only we're using actors that we know have home studios and that kind of thing, and not having too many. We can't have too many outdoor scenes because of certain audio aspects and that kind of stuff. And so the parameters have really changed, and it's a challenge. And I find it exciting.
Me too.
I find it exhausting personally. I mean, it really is. It is exciting, but the technology side of it does make it very cumbersome, and it's not something we would want to do long term. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Being together with the actors in the studio is something I really miss, and this is a great substitute, but it's not the way we should do it long term. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's lovely to know that we can do it, but we don't want to do it all for a long time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, going on to the second half of that question, talking about the preview of the Rydell revelations, I'm going to hand it over to you, Phil. But one thing I did want to point out, just speaking of God's hand on this, we recorded the 3-part Rydell revelations episode just before all of these lockdowns happened. So I really see God's hand in that, because it's not an episode that we could have recorded remotely. So I think that's where we really see God's hand on the timing of how we do things on the show.
Yeah.
But Phil, do you mind giving us a preview of Rydell Revelations, parts 1 through 3?
Basically, everything comes to head. The title of the episode kind of tells it all. It's a revelation. There's a lot of revelations that come here, come out here. And mainly with Maury, there's some stuff that happens with Maury, but there's a lot of revelations with other folks, too. That things are not always as they seem. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. 3 episodes. It takes 3 episodes to get through to reveal everything in proper fashion. And so I highly encourage you to stay tuned, because it's going to be great stuff. You're going to love it.
Well, and our next question is from Hudson from Pineville, Louisiana, and it also pertains to those episodes.
Is Maury's dad the chairman?
Ooh, that's a good question. Is Maury's dad the chairman? Now, here's the thing about that. If he is the chairman, will we tell you right now? We want you to listen to the episodes.
and if he was the chairman, we would definitely change it now.
Yeah.
You can go back and record that part where Maury's dad says, oh, and by the way, I'm the chairman.
I'm the chairman. No, he is not the chairman. We'll flat out tell you right now, he's not the chairman. I hope that's not too disappointing, but he's not the chairman. I can tell you that in the Rydell Revelations episodes, we will hear from Maury's dad.
Yeah,
that's going to be fun. We will hear from him. So,
if you guys have been following the Maury stories, I think you're going to love the Rydell Revelations. I think it's a really, really fun and surprising show.
Yeah. Let's move on to another one from Preston, who is from Rochester, New York.
How did Emily not know that she was in an Imagination Station adventure in the last episode of album 68? Because I know it was with the portable Imagination Station, but I was wondering what was the nature of the portable Imagination Station and how does that work?
Well, first of all, this is a multifaceted question. So first of all, she wasn't in the portable Imagination Station. Now, the portable Imagination Station is something that has been created and used in other episodes. Mm-hmm. But if you go back to the episode and listen carefully, it wasn't the portable Imagination Station. It was components that Whit had used to try to make the portable Imagination Station that were repurposed. Mm-hmm. By somebody, okay? So by somebody else. So actually somebody has taken them and used them in a way that Whit had not intended for them to be used. So that's the first thing, okay? So the second thing then, the second aspect of this question is that we've had several episodes during the Canon of Odyssey where people didn't know that they were in the Imagination Station until well into the episode or even at the end of the episode.
Yeah, the very end, like the last scene.
Yeah, at the very, very, very end. In fact, that was the whole big plot twist, the big reveal was that that they didn't know that they were in an Imagination Station program. That is not unprecedented for us as far as Odyssey is concerned. In fact, I think the first time we did that, what was the first episode that we did that with, Nathan? It was...
Isaac the Chivalrous,
yes. So a knight actually came out of the Imagination Station and walked around Odyssey, and how could this be? How could this be? How could this be? Well, of course, the whole thing was, spoiler, an Imagination Station adventure. So we've done this in the past, and that's the incredible nature of the Whit's invention. The amazing thing about the Imagination Station is how it is used. How Whit uses it. And interestingly enough, that is a discussion that crops up in the Rydell Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't say anything more about it, but that's an interesting question that actually gets discussed in terms of the Rydell Revelations. So
let's hear one more question here. It's actually more of a comment from John from Rulesboro, Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you for making Odyssey. I enjoy it very much. As being a man, I don't always get to do much over here, and every day seems to be the same during this global pandemic. So I'm trying to hold out, and every Saturday, well, almost every day, we listen to Odyssey from Monday through Saturday, and we really enjoy it. And I never thought that this would be some of my best entertainment that I would have. And thank you. All Adventures in Odyssey, Chris, Whit, Connie, Wooten, Penny, and everybody else at Odyssey. Thank you very much for making Odyssey and for all of the stuff that you do. Amen. Bye.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
Thank you, John. That's a very sweet, sweet comment. Very sweet comment.
What a great kid.
And
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful.
I'm really glad you're enjoying the show and it's been so helpful to you during this time. Stay healthy, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. That's We are very grateful that you're out there, that you're listening, and that that we're able to help you. And we praise God that we're able to do that. And we're honestly really want to give God all the glory. And like I said, I mean, we can look at the bad side of this COVID pandemic shutdown. There's nothing but bad news. But the good news is that we know in whose hands we are. Mm-hmm. We know whom we belong to, and that's God. And we're very grateful that he's using the program to help you all out. And keep listening.
Listening. And keep sending in those questions. We'll have another Q&A before too long. And we're thankful for all our fans. And thank you especially to the people who called in. We really appreciate you. And we'll see you on our next Q&A.
Bye.
Bye from California.
A lot of fun.
Thanks, guys. It sounds like Odyssey continues to have a big impact for God, and we've got a lot to look forward to.
And with Album 69 only a few months away in the club, let's hear a preview of the first few scenes of the much-anticipated three-part episode, The Rydell Revelations. We shared this as part of a Family Time event, but in case you missed it, let's listen now.
This episode is still in production, so you won't hear the sound effects or music, but you do get an idea of where this episode is headed. Or at least where it's headed for the first few minutes.
Roll the preview.
So, that box in the corner there, that's what caused this all?
Yes, it's my technology, cobbled together from the portable imagination station unit I designed.
Was this part of the stuff you and Matthew and Eugene cleared out of your workroom?
I believe so.
So the person who made this would have to be tech savvy.
Yes, and have some programming knowledge as well.
Would both of those involve a lot of math?
Oh, they would. That describe anyone you know?
It does. In fact, I think I might know exactly who's responsible for this, and a lot of the other strange things that have been going on around here lately.
Really? Who?
I don't want to say just yet. I need proof.
Well then, let's go get some.
Wait. If you don't mind, Mr. Whitaker, I'd like to do this on my own for now.
How about this? You do your investigation, and then we'll get together and share what we uncover.
Sounds good.
Just be prepared. You never know what you'll find.
That's another lesson I've learned from you. But like I said, I think I know exactly who's behind all of this.
Mr. Whitaker? Mr. Whitaker?
What in the world? In my office, Maury!
Mr. Whitaker? Something bad has happened. Something very bad.
Now, whoa. Just calm down.
Okay.
Now tell me what's going on.
I think my sister has been kidnapped.
Zuzu kidnapped? Well, then we should call the police.
No, you can't.
Why not?
Because of who did the kidnapping.
Who?
Emily Jones. I think Emily kidnapped Zuzu.
All right, let's start at the beginning. Why do you think Emily kidnapped Zuzu?
Because Emily recorded it on her phone. This phone. See?
It certainly looks like her phone. But why would she record herself kidnapping Zuzu on it?
Because she always records her cases.
Emily had a case against Zuzu?
No.
Well, then who?
Me. Emily was investigating me. She's been going around the past few days asking a bunch of people all sorts of questions about some things that have happened since I moved to town.
Ah, I see.
Then when school let out today, I needed to stay after to work on a computer project. But through the window of the computer lab, I saw Zuzu and Emily talking outside. They both seemed upset. Emily grabbed Zuzu, but Zuzu broke free and rode away on her bike. Then Emily ran and got on her bike and followed Zuzu. I cleaned up my project, got my bike, and rode to our house. When I got there, both girls' bikes were outside. I went into Suzu's room. It was a mess. And I found Emily's phone on the floor.
Which brings us back to my original question. Why would Emily want to kidnap Zuzu?
Because I think Emily was getting too close to the truth.
The truth? About what?
I can't... It's complicated.
Maury, I can't help you if you don't tell me everything. The truth about what?
It's all on Emily's phone. Here.
Hmm. Interesting. It's not password protected.
The Rydell Revelations is part of Album 69, Best Kept Secrets. It releases in the club starting July 14th, on download in September, or on CD, the radio, and online in October. If you're not a member of the club yet, you can join free for 28 days right now. That's aioclub.org.
And that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family. You can visit us online at witsend.org/podcast.
You can watch all of those family time events on our website. And if there's anything you need, give us a call at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.